The numbers told the story. They always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game presented by BetMGM. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel, filling in for Gil Alexander, who makes his glorious return on Monday after some well-deserved time off. To steal Gil's bit, we do get tweets. Fezzix, South Point Runner up on Twitter. Live look at Cincinnati's back room, and it's a great picture in the scene from Casino Royale where James Bond's getting his groin wailed on by a very heavy object trying to get information out of it. Do you think that's exactly what they did to the guy out there in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I'm going to go with no probably, but who knows, man? Who knows?
Who are you on the phone with? Just like that. It's kind of funny. I like the thought of it, especially if it was only like a $200 bet. I think that would be really funny too. All right, let's bring in Chris Felica. Nice enough to give us some time today to talk about the run for the roses coming up this week. But Chris, am I correct? Are you feet on the ground here? Are you a roving reporter today?
I indeed am. I am at Churchill Downs already. Nice 10:30 start on Oaks Day. We've already run second and third in the first race and did not have the winner. So all things are normal here for an Oaks and Derby weekend for me.
So let's talk about the Kentucky Oaks. The 149th running of it takes place today, as you kind of mentioned. So walk us through like the main points of what we're going to see at least today here, Chris.
Well, yeah, today is the big race for three-year-old fillies. The Oaks Day. It's a lot of people actually enjoy Oaks Day a little bit more than Derby Day. Because of the atmosphere, but there's a big favorite in the race. However, I don't think that she has to win. The horse's name is Wet Paint. She's the number 7 horse trained by Brad Cox. She's shown some versatility. She's been on the lead or close to the lead, and she's been a little bit of a closer as well. So I think she's going to be hard to beat, but I think she is beatable. I think the number 5 horse, Wonder Wheel, is someone that you might want to take a look at, who's 12-1 on the morning line. She's got a couple of wins at Churchill Downs early in her 2-year-old career. She won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies last year. She ran well in Tampa Bay, and then just kind of didn't have it. Was empty as a favorite in the Ashland. So I think her bouncing back, third race off a layoff, if you're looking to beat Wet Paint, I think Wonder Wheel is someone to take a look at.
All right, let's talk about the news around the Kentucky Derby then. You said it's somewhat normal, but it does seem it's a little extreme or a little odd. We get 3 horses that are taken out of the field for various reasons. So walk us through the 3 horses that got taken out, because one of them was relatively high on the odds board, correct?
Well, and it was actually the 4th today.
Okay.
Unfortunately. And actually, it was my top pick. This is a race going on right now, if you can't tell, with Travis Stone in the background going, so now it's going to get quiet. But, yeah, my actual top pick, the number 9 horse, Skinner, was scratched this morning because of the fever. So, unfortunately, I'm kind of back to the drawing board now in terms of how I'm going to play the race and who I'm going to key. But, yeah, the number 9 horse, Skinner, was scratched. You had the number 10 horse right next to him, Practical Move, was scratched. He was 10-1. You had the number 20 horse, Continuar, scratched, and you had the number 19 horse, Lord Miles, scratched, as there's some stuff going on with the trainer, Safi Joseph, in his barn. All of his horses at Churchill Downs have been scratched. So Lord Miles scratched. 4 horses have been scratched. The also eligible list has been exhausted. So right now we are at a field of 19 beginning tomorrow for the Derby.
So how does that affect post position if you don't have a full field?
Everyone will just slide in one spot from like where you were. Okay. Everyone will just come over one spot. So the number 20 spot will be left empty, and all the other spots will just fill in accordingly.
So, of course, I'll ask some pretty novice questions. I'm not very up on when it comes to Kentucky Derby handicapping. So let me ask you, because I do know, obviously, post position is very important. And with a changing field like we've had over the last few days, when you look around at the field as it stands right now, can you walk me through a couple of the, I guess we'll call them trends, for lack of a better term, when it comes to some of these post positions and the horses that you don't want in some of these unfavorable spots?
Yeah, I think that the biggest concern are the horses down on the inside. Like there hasn't been a winner from the one post since Ferdinand. There hasn't been a winner from 1, 2, or 3 since Real Quiet in 1998. So the thought process is you're stuck down inside.
Yeah.
Horses are going to come over from the outside to get better position. But I'm a little curious if that might change here in either this year or in the near future. just because they no longer have the auxiliary starting gate where you had like the 1 through 16 were in one spot, 17 through 20 were in another, and the angle on the horses on the inside wasn't very good. You were basically running right into the rail. Like, I think now with the one-horse hit show, if he was not on the rail, he would have been a lot shorter than 30-1. And it's interesting that another Brad Cox horse, number two horse, Verifying, is right next to him in post two. So Verifying is going to go to the front. That might allow Hit Show a little bit better, a little bit cleaner start. So he might not be as compromised by the rail as some of the other horses have been in the past.
All right, so I know that you mentioned that your top pick was one of the horses that was ruled out here. But let me ask you then, just as a general handicapping like rule of thumb for you with these horses, what are some of the qualities that you want in a horse in the Kentucky Derby, and are there any other horses that might fit those qualifications?
I think the biggest thing that I look for is a horse that I know is going to get the distance. The favorite, Forte, he's by a sire named Violence, and his offspring tended to be very sprint-based, 7-furlong-based, as Violence was. He was not a horse that was really known for his route races. And we saw Forte's speed figures drop as he went from a mile and a 16th to a mile to 8, mile and an 8. So I think he's vulnerable tomorrow. I think if you look at some other horses named Verifying, who I just mentioned, I mean, he's quite justified. He should be able to get the distance. Mage, the 8 horse, being by Good Magic and Big Brown underneath, he should be able to get the distance. I mean, there's just a couple of horses in here that I think the mile and a quarter is going to be a little bit too much.
Chris Felica with us. All right, so for people more familiar with sports betting, would you recommend betting this at set odds or at a sports book, maybe in paramutuals?
Normally, I would say set odds. If it was a normal Saturday afternoon at Churchill Downs and it was not a massive spectacle where the public gets involved and people are betting horses based on post position or color or name or something like that, I would say do it. But now, today, you get so much money in those little, because they like a color or whatever, like you are going to get probably better prices on horses that have a legit long shot chance than you would on some other horses who are going to get bet down because someone likes their name or likes their story. So today and tomorrow, I want the paramutual odds because I think I can beat the moves and the odds that the other people are playing. But on a normal basis, I would love set odds.
All right, so we know that the field is changing, so we'll get you out of here on this. As it kind of stands right now, and again, with the premise that the horse that you were going to pick is out, did you have somewhere that you would shift here overall for the winner of this thing?
Yeah. I was looking at playing a four-horse exacta box with Skinner, with number 18, Rocket 10, number 22, Mandarin Hero, and then I'm probably going to wind up adding the number four horse Confidence Game as well. So it's going to be those three, Confidence Game, Rocket 10, Mandarin Hero, and maybe I'm going to add Verifying as the fourth horse in there. I think Confidence Game is an interesting horse, obviously. He's been off since February, so that's an unusual position to take. And during the Derby, really not prepped. The workouts can only do so much. But I think the number 18 horse, Rocket 10, is someone adding blinkers for Belmont. The horse reminds me a lot of Country House, who won for Belmont as a long shot price a couple of years ago. Versatile, he can be on the lead, he can come from off, he adds blinkers, he's always been bet, won the Holy Bull. He might be someone who the board forgets about tomorrow, and you might be able to get a really nice price on the number 18 horse, Rocket 10.
Chris Felica, Fox Sports, at Chris Felica up on Twitter. Chris, good to talk to you, man. Thanks a lot. We really appreciate it.
Same here, JBT. Have a great weekend, bud.
Thanks, man. You too. Look at that, huh? I'm just friendly with like all these people. You know,
you're a big deal, man.
There's a lot of joy in that. You too, bud. You know, and to reiterate for anybody who is just joining us who had heard that, yes, we do have a fourth horse scratched in the Kentucky Derby. That is the most scratches since 2015. Trainer John Sheriff has scratched California Colt Skinner from Saturday's Kentucky Derby due to elevated temperature. That is Kentucky Horse Racing Commission stewards announced on Friday. So they lost its fifth entrant. Altogether, four horses have been scratched. It's the most in 2015. The horses, Practical Move, Lord Miles, Continuar, were scratched on Thursday. Wild on Ice had to be euthanized, unfortunately, following an injury during a workout. So with no more also eligible horses available, the 149th Kentucky Derby will have 19 starters at the gate. So that is the story and the adjustment. And still, a lot of information up there, up on the website, and we'll have updates on the website too over at vsin.com, which you might want to make sure you check out, especially with this field evolving as much as it has been over the last 24 to 48 hours. Let's see, really quick, because I didn't want to spend a ton on time of this, Kelly. So we'll hit this here. But wanted to note, of course, because we didn't hit this yesterday, I think this has come down after we came off the air. So Mike Budenholzer has been fired by the Milwaukee Bucks. It'll be very fascinating to see who takes on that job, because it's a very good job. But also a little bit of an itchy trigger finger on Budenholzer, who, look, it was a bad series. Looked like old Bud for a while. But very interested to see, after a guy led them to an NBA Finals championship, you lose to an 8 seed, though, in the way that you do. You're gone just like that.
Yeah, I kicked this around with a couple people yesterday. I think that the first thing that means to me, JVT, is they want to get out in front of the Nick Nurse.
Be a pretty good hire.
Yeah, I think that's what it means to me. I also think there's a chance that Bud went to them, right, and was like, hey, if you guys are going to kick me out or something,
do it now
so I can, I can have a choice of jobs.
Do I make another movie reference? Like, he walked up to them and, like, put the gun on his head. He was like, just do it. Called their bluff. They were like, all right.
Because I think that is part of it, right? Like, you want to be out there when jobs are open up and actually be able to take one, right? So I don't know. I think I would guess from the Bucks, we either see Nick Nurse happen pretty quick, or it might be a while.
You should put a full court press on that guy.
You really should.
He's, especially with a full arsenal. You add to that thing, that will be one, the best defense in the NBA next year if they get him.
And look, whoever's getting Budenholzer, probably a good coach too.
Very true. Very true. All right, we'll take our break. We have plenty more to get to. We'll get to some MLB futures a little bit later in the hour. When we come back, Lou Finicaro joins us.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Most exciting 2 minutes in sports is coming up, and the field continues to change with another scratch, now down to 19. Get all the latest information up on the website at vsin.com. If you're not a VSiN subscriber, check it out now at vsin.com/subscribe and get in on the Kentucky Derby betting guide. Still covering plenty, despite a changing field, of course, you want to get your hands on. And it's digital. You want to know what that means? It means it can be changed, right? If information changes, we can change it too. Check it out now. Introductory offer, $9.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. Awesome, awesome information, including best bets from Dave Tooley and crew. Is that Dave Tooley's crew?
Dave Tooley's crew.
Bunch of bowler shirts to the guys that like to
it's a hard-hitting crew bowler shirts, yeah. I love Dave. I haven't seen him in forever, I feel like.
I have not seen him. No, you are right. But I assume every time I see him, one of my favorite traditions on Sundays is at a local casino out here during football season. I always see Dave Tooley just sauntering on by. He's got a little table he always goes to, and it's always like, hey, what's up, Tooley? So football season, I see Tooley probably every Sunday.
Dave has some of the part of his fame is some of the eating, right? Oh, like the prime rib, like massive eating competitions.
I think
stuff.
It's Jerry's Nugget that has the prime rib, like the massive slab. You have to look. Go on his Twitter account. Just search prime rib,
yes.
And I think he's got the picture of it at View from Vegas. A man who, I'm going to make an assumption, enjoys prime rib, because his name is Lou Finicaro. Nice enough to give us some time today. Is there truth to this accusation that I've levied at you that you do indeed enjoy prime rib, Lou Finicaro?
First of all, guys, thanks for having me on. I'm in the throes of a deep weight loss currently, so for you to be mentioning Tooley, his eating habits, and then topping it off with prime rib hits me below the belt, JBT. But yes, I love it. And I did see Tooley recently, and we did make a jaunt to the Tempe Portillo's before he went to a Cubs baseball game, and we visited. Tooley's a great man and had a bunch of characters with him. It was fun to see him, and it's good to visit with you, Jets.
85 grams of prime rib has about 20 grams of protein, Lou. Come on, you're good. It's got protein in it. You can eat it.
He had a bunch of characters with him, so Tooley does have a crew.
Yeah, he does have
Tooley's
a crew.
Tooley's crew.
He might want to watch out for those guys wandering around. All right, Lou, let's start in the National Hockey League before we get to what we're going to see a little bit later today. And as we watched last night and what transpired in the NHL, any big takeaway from what we saw yesterday with Florida now taking a 2-0 series lead over Toronto? Because, you know, I'm much, you know me, Lou, I like data, I like numbers, I like analytics. It feels like there's something narratively here with Toronto finally getting the monkey off the back in terms of getting out of the first round and then completely letting down here in the second.
I think, Jonathan, that could have been anticipated.
Yeah.
You're talking about 20 years of pressure for these kids that I don't regard as gritty, tough, and full of fortitude to begin with. So when you take that pressure off and you loosen the belt, everything opens up. Meanwhile, Florida, behind new coach Maurice, who is really getting to be up there with Cooper as far as how he's playing his team. He's got last year's President's Cup winners with the infusion of this young man, Tkachuk, believing in themselves, and Bobrovsky playing tremendous hockey. This is a team that I regard as the most dangerous remaining in the East.
So they're up 2-0, but they're going back home. But we've kind of seen this, right, Lou? I mean, they're an example of it. Home ice hasn't really meant much in this postseason. So, like, you mentioned that they were the most dangerous, so maybe I know your answer here. But so the Maple Leafs pretty much dead here, or is it unreally, you know, a thought that they could go on the road and maybe take two in Florida after Florida just took two in Toronto?
No, I think we're going to see Toronto's mettle tested. They've now got two games in this series under their legs. They'll at least split in Florida. I believe there's a lot of hockey left to play between these two. And I'm kind of half waiting to see if we'll ever see a 7 in that total, because yeah, if we're going to get one, there's the series that might produce it.
Yeah, 6.5 right now for game 3 back in Florida, but shaded to the over at minus 125. All right, let's go to really quickly what we're going to see here today. And I wanted to go big series picture first. New Jersey on the road against Carolina. And my thought was, as you kind of looked at game 1, right, Lou, it was kind of a tough spot where you look at New Jersey and you're like, yeah, of course, you're coming off of a game 7. You get one day of rest. You got to go on the road. It's probably tough to turn that thing around to take on a Carolina team that's been waiting for you. So big picture here. What did you feel about the Devils coming into the series? Would it be worth it to come in and bet them to win this series now that they dropped game 1 in a really tough spot?
Well, that would be the only way to come in if you want to get involved in the series. And really, if you were to do that, we're lucky enough here in Phoenix to have DraftKings. I'd look at them plus a game and a half, and we'll get to that when we discuss the next game. As far as this series is concerned, you're really looking at a lot of offensive capability being away from, missing from Carolina. And the question is, can the young Devils, who are a year ahead of schedule, really tighten their skates enough to compete with the remaining veterans on Carolina? I have less strong feelings in that series, but I think Carolina is going to be very tough to beat based on the youth of the Devils.
So out of the remaining series we haven't discussed yet, Edmonton, Vegas, and then Dallas, Seattle, where's your passion the strongest here in terms of an angle to take?
Pre-flop, we took Vegas plus a game and a half in the series. Now you look at Edmonton, who at that time, at the beginning of the series, they're giving a game and a half plus 120. Now, if you look at Edmonton, you can get a game and a half with Edmonton and lay 160. So in essence, you're going to give me 3 games advantage after one game in the series has been played. And granted, Edmonton's down, but now I'm going to get Edmonton with 3 games advantage, and I only have to pay about 80 cents for that. That's a complete overreaction. No one said Edmonton was going to sweep the Knights. I believe this series has 7 games written all over it, and Edmonton plus a game and a half as a series prop available on DraftKings, to me, is a very great opportunity.
Big picture here with Edmonton, like, were you in the camp? A lot of smart hockey people that I would talk to were preaching Edmonton as, like, that team, right, the dangerous squad that would come out of this conference. And you look at it, right, down 1-0 here against Vegas. Like, is this a team that has been overpriced by the market? Because just what I understand in terms of sports betting, Lou, and tying into some of the philosophies I use, I kept coming away with maybe the Oilers being overpriced by the betting market. Has that been the case?
In my opinion, yes, Jonathan. I completely concur. I think that much of the betting market is unwilling to really recognize how much different the postseason is from the regular season. And that's all regular season sentiment driving Edmonton. Post postseason sentiment is driving Dallas.
Yeah. All right, really quick, let's hit on that before we get to anything for UFC. Dallas, Seattle. Seattle now back at home. $1.40 favor. The Stars are here. I think that seemed like the series where you felt most comfortable, right? Where, hey, okay, you lose game one. Dallas, though, heavily priced here in this series and in that game. Going to bounce back, tie it up. They do, and now they're favorites on the road here against the Kraken.
Yeah, Dallas is my pick to win it all. I think they will do that, but I don't think they get out of Seattle easy. That's a seven-game series as well. I think it's going to be no easy task for the Stars to get by a Seattle team that's been as underestimated as Florida.
All right, UFC 288. We'll start at the top, Cejudo and Sterling. What do we got here? Ring rust, is that going to be a thing here for Henry Cejudo?
I don't think so. Cejudo's a world-class competitor, and I think he's been preparing for this for some time. He's been away for 3 years, and that's the intangible. So what are we going to get from Henry? Meanwhile, Aljo, who weighed in at 7'10", Henry was the first one on the scale at 6 a.m. It took Aljo till 7:10 to weigh in. That's because he's huge for the weight class. He spent a lot of time working on that weight cut, and I think that could potentially affect him in the later rounds. I wrote in the digital magazine this week that my position was on Aljo, and at that time it was. At this point, I'm not on that fight in any way, shape, or form. I think that Cejudo's well aware of the opportunity ahead of him. That has to be respected, and I worry about the weight cut for Aljo. So I'll step away from this fight. If anything, fight does not go the distance, plus 100 at DraftKings. I'd look that way.
All right, last 60 with you, Lou. Anything else on the card that our audience should be aware of?
Best bets would be Bilal Muhammad against Gilbert Burns and Verna Jandiroba against Marina Rodriguez. Both of those fighters are slight underdogs, and I believe they're in very good positions.
Lou Finocchiaro, Gamblu. Glue, it's always good to talk to you, buddy. Thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it. It's good to see you're doing well.
Thanks, JVT. Kelly, everybody, good luck and enjoy the fight.
Yep, Gamblu again up on Twitter. About business podcast, well, First Strike, everything that Lou is offering. Of course, VSiN.com. You can check out the written work up there, too. All right, when we come back, we'll hit on a couple more things when it comes to the NBA. We do have some updated series prices that we haven't hit. We also should take a look at what we're going to see in New York and Miami because we don't really have an update yet on what Jimmy Butler's going to do, and the market's doing some things, so we'll keep you updated there and on any breaking news that we have in the world of sports. And for Kelly, I have a social question once more about how he operates in certain social settings, and feel like I can be kind of ruthless at times. And I don't know if it's rude or if it's the right thing to do in these scenarios. We'll talk about it when we return.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back in. It's Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Gil. A reminder for all of you, a lot of the stuff we have up on the website can be yours for just a $9.99 price for 30 days. That includes our Picks at a Glance page. You can easily sort through picks by sport, the type. You follow hosts and guests and check out our VSiN Experts leaderboard. See which VSiN host has the hot hand in terms of ROI, winning streak, and more. Check it out today. VSiN.com/subscribe. A lot of good tools up there, not just the Picks at a Glance page. Just want to check out everything that we have to offer up on the website at vsin.com. All right, so I mentioned I had a social question for you. So
what
before
you got,
we get
man?
To the hardcore sports stuff. So yesterday, of course, got
what'd
to go
you
to
screw up.
No. I don't when I say it, so I mentioned I feel ruthless in this, right? Where I give no F's, as the kids say. So I'm at a social setting yesterday where there's like a bunch of people, and it's a bunch of people that you kind of know, and you kind of hop, you know, there's that weird thing that happens at gatherings like this where, like, you know, you stand in kind of like that circle, right? And you're like talking to each other, but there's a bunch of people. And then maybe something happens to where your attention gets drawn away here. So then you get to another conversation and blah, blah, blah. What I mean I'm ruthless is if you're not passing the vibe check, like if you're like kind of talking my ear off and I don't like it, I will flat out leave. Like not cut people off, but like when I sense an opening, I'll be like, I'll be right back. And I'm not right back. I'm just leaving. But I feel like sometimes I feel like it's rude. There's other times where yesterday, this person will go unnamed. Somebody was clearly a talker, and I didn't really want to get wrapped up in a lot of those conversations. And so I did the sneaky thing where I was like, oh, well, he, and I pointed to the person next to me, like just set him off on a topic and then slowly backed out and then walked away and then went somewhere else. It was a brilliant move because that person actually got stuck talking to them for like 15, maybe 20 minutes.
All right, see, that's playing a little dirty. But no, that, no,
and then I went to go watch the basketball game.
Otherwise, I'm completely on board with you. That's why, you know, it helps if you're someone like me that, you know, I drink and I drink quickly, right? So often you're like, oh, you know what? I got to go grab a drink. I'll see you guys in a bit. I'll be right back, right? Like, you know, you got to have multiple excuses to bail you out. So, yeah, no, I'm with you. There are those conversations when you're in a group setting like that you can get locked into that you got to have outs, man. We talk about gambling outs all the time. You got to have outs to get out of that conversation.
Yeah, that was one, too, where the service was actually too good, where to the point where
you couldn't, like, go waste time at the bar.
One of the hostesses literally took the glass from out of my hand when I was, like, not really paying attention. She's like, you need a new one. And I'm like, I didn't really, but okay, yeah, sure. Like, thank you. I appreciate it. Like, it was brilliant. So,
you're
all
like,
right.
Whoa, I'm married, okay?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Whoa. I don't have it on today, but yeah, whoa. Chill out, lady, all right? I know that you think I'm sports betting royalty when you see all these famous people around here, but trust me, I'm nobody, all right? I'm married here. All right, that's all I had. That's all I had in terms of the social setting.
Yeah, question. No, I think you're good, man. I do that all the time.
All right.
I thought you were going to bring up something, I don't know, way worse, but no.
No, I just
maybe
feel
that
like
makes
sometimes
us bad people, but I completely agree.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, is it rude of me to just be like, you know what, this conversation, I'm not flat out telling them, like, you're boring, I'm leaving. But my actions are saying, you're boring, I'm leaving. And so, you know, and there might be people listening right now that were like, we're talking to yesterday are now thinking like, wow, was it me? It was you.
Jerk.
It was you. Think about it. No. All right. So with that, let's talk a little bit more about the NBA because we did not hit on anything we're going to see this coming weekend. So we will finally see game 3 of Knicks Heat. I thought that series is over because we haven't seen it in forever. And I just wanted to do a quick update here because we haven't really seen much in terms of adjustments and where we're seeing where the market wants to move. We've gotten pretty static for the most part. Heat -115. Knicks -105. If Jimmy Butler plays, it'll probably, you know, maybe we'll see like a -120 bump because the point spread will move in favor of the Heat. We haven't really seen much. So I will ask you, Kelly. I know, like, of the four remaining series that we have, Celtics are a -240 favorite, 76ers +195, Nuggets are a -450 favorite, Suns +350, Heat -115 favorite, Knicks -105. Again, these are series prices. Warriors now -115 favorites, Lakers -105. If you are betting a series price, where is Kelly Bidlin putting his money?
Whew, man, I missed the best of it, but probably still the Warriors. I think that it's kind of like you said, top of the show, where you weren't convinced. Now you kind of are.
I was always right, convinced. Right, exactly. My confidence never wavered.
So when we discussed this on Hardwood Handicappers, it was the
wherever you get your podcast.
That's right. Wherever you get your podcast, go find it now. I love the Warriors in that game too, but man, the Lakers had impressed me enough in game one. I couldn't buy hard on the series price. Of course, I wish I did now. I think that's where I'd go though.
So here's my – I know you love these questions.
I mean, it's also one of those, if you got the bankroll, like, the Nuggets win in the series.
Yes. The question the question is just, is it priced enough into it where you're looking at -450? And, like, to your point, I would agree with you. However, again, going back to what we talked about, like, scenarios and how much they cost and all that kind of thing, if I'm going to lay the price and, like, almost double down with the Nuggets, I think I'd want to do it in game 4 as opposed to game 3.
Yeah,
right. Game 3 would be the best opportunity, I think, for the Suns to grab a win.
You know what, though? I'm going to say the same thing about the Warriors now, too. Like, I either would have done it before game 2. I feel that way about game 3 with the Lakers as well. Like, I probably won't be betting that game at all. I actually think the Lakers look, we know what they didn't do last night. I think you're going to see a much more – I did play a player prop. I did play Anthony Davis over his points. I think you're going to see a much more aggressive Anthony Davis. I think you're going to see a lot of what you saw in the first half from LeBron. They know the pressure has now shifted their way. I think they've got a good chance to win that game. But even if they don't, I'd be okay then. Warriors win that game, I'll lay whatever big number I got to lay with the Warriors. I'd be confident in them getting home at that point.
Series is over.
There you go.
Now here's the other thing, though, is now this is the best opportunity for me to get – I mean, before the series began was my best opportunity.
Yeah.
But to get something out of these Warriors numbers that I have, Lakers -105 is probably something.
I'd still – so, like, for your situation, I think you should play that Lakers number a little bit. Yeah.
I was hoping for – I know Sports Gambling Twitter got really mad at Kay Adams for saying this. So I'm going to say it incorrectly on purpose. +100. I was hoping to get +100 on the Los Angeles Lakers. But regardless, I'm
people really getting upset about that.
Oh, you didn't see this?
No, I didn't see it.
There was one because Kay Adams, who hosts a show on another network, somebody tweeted at her a same game parlay or a parlay of some sorts, and the odds were even money or plus 100, whatever. And somebody responded with, "Ew, like four legs to get even money. No thanks." She quote tweeted it and said, "That's plus 100. Read a book, honey," or something like that. I think she was joking. Okay. I think. Again, you don't know.
But I'll have to go back and look at it.
But of course, sports betting Twitter's like, "That's not plus 100. That's even money." Like, can we be joyous for 5 seconds? Like, who cares?
I guess I'd be a little bit more concerned. I'll have to go look at the tweet. I'd be a little bit more concerned if she doesn't know what even money means, like if that's translating to plus 100.
Actually go read it, because I think when I read that, I took it as like a joking, like, because also I've seen some of Kay Adams, like, past, that's her name, right? The former NFL. I feel like for some reason she had a different last name. I've seen some of her other stuff, right? And like, there's some jokes that she has tweeted out before. Like, I kind of understand her sense of humor. Like that was a joke. But of course, like, no, we got to get mad. We got to call you stupid. You got to call you an idiot.
Twitter really might be just the worst place on the planet. It is just incredible what people, like, we are so mad always about everything, and we have to express it.
I love it. Especially the sports betting community. Such a warm and welcoming place. I've never felt the warm embrace that I have felt multiple times in my life. It's sports betting Twitter. My wife, the day we got married, and then every time my children run to come and greet me when I get home from work, It's no warmer a hug than that. So I wanted to bring that up. And this is the other thing, because I know you love the topic of hedging.
Oh, God.
So, here's the thing, and I think this is kind of important to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. So I do have another ticket. I've got the Philadelphia 76ers at 23-1 to win the NBA Finals. It's a very good ticket considering where they're at right now in the grand scheme of things. However, I am ready to take a loss on that ticket, because I think they're going to lose this series, and I still think it is too early to try to get anything out of it, right? Because if you try now, let's say they pull it off, then you're talking about, okay, Eastern Conference Finals, you get something out of it there. By the time you get to the NBA Finals, if they actually do it, you're going to have nothing left. So again, I know a lot of people always talk about like hedging on things, sometimes you're in a position where, hey, it's a really good number, you're just going to take the loss.
Yeah.
I think that's where I'm at right now.
So I guess if I were in your shoes, I might have done something Celtics series price after game one. But like you're talking about, that would be in my mind with the understanding that I'm not doing anything against the 76ers if they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Because I would have in my mind, if they got past the Celtics, okay, the 76ers are all of a sudden looking pretty dang good, and you're going to go up against the Knicks or the Heat that I have no faith in whatsoever. I think that, me, you, Sean, and Kevin, maybe even the four of us can play a competitive game against the Knicks or Heat with all the injuries they have right now. But anyways, that would be the understanding, right? That you would have to not hedge in the Eastern Conference Finals, go into the finals then and do something with
which
it.
And I kind of faux did it. I mean, it was based on my, numbers and own projections, if you will, that I thought this series, the odds of it going under 5.5 games were higher than the market said. So I've got that under 5.5 is kind of a way of kind of getting maybe something out of there, because betting on the Celtics, I figured they were going to be the one to end it in 4 or 5. But I'm ready to take it on the chin here. It's not like it's a, it'd be nice if I can get it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but.
Rob says he'll play point guard for us.
Okay. I'll say
Liz,
Knicks
Wyatt,
minus.
Isaiah, they're coming off the bench.
I'll say Knicks minus 100.5, but that will probably cover just because they'll run out of time and they won't be able to get up to
there.
All right, we're wrapping up a little bit more in the Kentucky Derby and the evolving field. Paul Zilb is going to join us, Super Circa Sportsbook, when we return.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining shows and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Visit BetMGM.com for terms. Got to be 21. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualifications. qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards are issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I have trouble for that one. 7 days from issuance?
Those are tough ones.
A lot of they S's there. Ones, yeah. A lot of S's there. No S's in Paul Zilm's name, so that's a good one. Paul's with us now. Of course, you can find him over at Circus Sportsbook, Risk Supervisor, at Paul Zilm up on Twitter. Paul, it's good to talk to you, so I'll just ask this. What's the last 24, 48 hours been like for you with all these horses getting scratched out of this Kentucky Derby field?
Yeah, you know, I don't have much hair on my head, but I felt like pulling it out at a couple different times. It's been wild for the Derby to have this many scratches this close to the race.
So can you, from your perspective, and you know, keep in mind, I am a very novice so horse bettor. I think I've bet on like three Kentucky Derbies total, and one of them I won because it was my mother-in-law's maiden name, and I was like, screw it, let's put some money on this thing before the race starts. So like, what is the process like for you when this field keeps changing, when horses get pushed down? Like, how much does this alter the odds when you have replacement horses in a field? How much does it increase the odds of some of the favorites winning this thing? What are some of the changes that we've seen so far?
Yeah, you kind of nailed it. The big thing for us is we want to offer a really competitive theoretical hold. So, you know, when a horse goes out, we want to get that horse off the board as soon as we can. B, we want to make sure that, you know, if it's a lower priced horse, you know, one of the favorites like Practical Move was yesterday, who was 9-1 at the time he scratched. Obviously, there's a lot of value there on those horses right around them. We want to make sure we adjust. So, it's a fair price that we're offering on both sides. Since we do offer the no price as well, we just want to make sure everything's in line. And then, you know, we had to add in three horses that we didn't have listed, who are the also eligibles. Since our pool after the post position draw is must start for action, we weren't going to put those in until they drew into the field. So then it's getting them up, figuring out where their odds fit in. Oftentimes, you know, there's nothing to compare it to, so you're kind of creating the market on them right away. And you just kind of got to book through it a little bit. And yesterday it would happen, and a couple hours later happen again, and then a couple hours later happen again. So it just kind of felt like you're repeating the same process a few times.
Is there a deep, like, analytical database of, like, horse stuff? Right, because I'm like a big analytics and numbers guy, but as somebody who's setting odds for these horses, how much of this process for you is watching them and understanding like past races? How much is out there in terms of data on these horses that help you shape the market?
You know, there's a lot of data out there. You know, most of these horses have run 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6 times. So you can find some data on how they've done on the track, different parts of the country. So you can look at their past performances. There's 3 or 4 different kinds of speed figures out there that you can use to kind of hopefully try to level the playing field based on track variance, the day they ran, the competition they ran against, and try to, you know, give you a universal number that you can, you know, A versus B, that kind of a thing. For me, you know, we opened up our Derby futures on December 15th. And so a big, you know, I've been watching all of these horses, you know, since about a month before that. So I feel like I have a good idea of where they should be in the market. You know, I've been wrong plenty of times, and the market's good at correcting you when you are. So you want to make sure that you you have the prices somewhat close and then just move aggressively one way or the other when the bettors come in.
All right, so you guys have a variety of stuff up there over at Circa. How often will you get action on some of these no prices for the horses that you have offered?
A lot more than people think. I mean, people will look at a horse that, you mean, at the lay, and we have confidence game at 27-1 right now. The win is no price is $44. You got to lay $44.50 on him. But plenty of people do that because they've built positions throughout the last 3 or 4 months. And so if you get out of whack, they'll call you on it and make sure you just don't have horses, you know, low just because you don't want to take any more action. You can't really hide, I guess, is the best way to describe it. So it happens a lot, and it'll happen a lot between now and tomorrow.
And go ahead.
Oh, just I was going to say, what happened a lot is, you know, bettors look at their, you know, portfolio and see, okay, I have these 3 or 4 horses. You know, I kind of like this one now. What type of value can I get?
Yeah. Paul Zilm with the Circus Sportsbook, Sports Risk Supervisor. All right, so similar question then, too. I mean, I would assume Kentucky Derby matchups that you guys have offered are pretty sharp markets. Like, if we're paying attention to some of these moves, I'm assuming somebody like me is not coming in to bet Angel of Empire over Kings Barnes in a matchup over at Circa.
You know, we started to see a little bit more of, you know, general play over the last, 12 hours maybe since last night. You know, the first bets we took when we put them up on Wednesday, you know, that first day is a lot of people who definitely have been waiting for them. They probably make their own numbers. There's not a lot of books that put them up, so there's not a lot to go against as far as, you know, seeing, you know, if they can match the number, get a better number, or if they're just going to play their opinions. So it kind of, as we get closer to tomorrow, we'll start seeing more of those, you know, $25, $50 plays, people who want to have action, maybe have a small opinion, but are just looking to get involved in the race.
So right now over at Circa, the favorite for this thing, Forte, sitting plus 315, minus 400 on the no if you want to go in there. So, Paul, before we get you out of here, I mean, the field keeps changing. What do you like here now that we have kind of settled in on 19 horses?
Yeah, you know, it's the board, I think, is looking at it the way I do. You know, Forte is a deserving favorite. There were some rumors yesterday that he's got some injuries, and that's why his numbers kind of floated up a little bit. But I think his trainer has kind of said those were just, in fact, rumors. So I think he's going to settle in as the favorite. I really like Angel of Empire. You know, we've seen his odds drop from, you know, as high as 10 and 11 to 1 over the last week. We have him at 7 to 1, and I think, you know, he'll go off a little bit less than that for the pari-mutuel odds, the on-track odds. So Angel of Empire is a horse I like. Should do well at Churchill. The distance fits him. His last two races have been really pretty good, and he's training well. That's the horse I like. But, you know, the top three or four all make sense. I don't think there's anyone who's way out of whack.
Follow him on Twitter, Paul Zilm, or just go say what's up at Circa. He is the Circa Sports Risk Supervisor. Paul, it's good to talk to you, man. Thank you very much for the time. That was awesome.
Hey, thanks for having me, and enjoy the race.
Yep, you got it, man. Will do. Kelly and I will be on for the lead up to that tomorrow here on Live Bet Saturday.
Yeah, what do we the race goes off right as we go off air?
Yeah, I think it starts at 3:57. Did we see that?
Yeah, I think
that's late. Isn't that? I could have sworn that it happened at like 2:00 every year. Yeah, we got to find out. Yeah, we got to find out exactly when that happens, because I feel like that is late, and I always felt like it was like a, you know, like early afternoon race. But obviously, you know, I'm open to being wrong, because I can tell you, like,
no, you're right.
Horse racing. I'm right?
You're right. 3:57 Pacific time, 6:57 Eastern.
I feel like that's really late for the folks over there.
Yeah. Not like they're in the we're more into the summer, right? So we got longer days, but still. Okay. And it's only 2 minutes, right? Fastest 2 minutes.
Very true. Very true. Most exciting as well. Are you betting this?
Oh, yeah. It's my annual donation to the casinos.
You're going to do this like fixed, though, right? You're going to go to like Circa or anything
like
that?
I will. I know that there are a lot of horse bettors out there. I thought that was a great breakdown by Chris. We talked about that, Lee. Right? That was a great breakdown. I know there's a lot of horse bettors out there that don't like that. I don't think there's anything wrong, though. If you are more of a sports bettor and not a very familiar a bettor that is very familiar with horse betting, if you want to know what odds you're betting on, I don't think there is any problem with locking it in ahead of time. I think Chris gave a good breakdown of that for this specific year and why it might make more sense to do more with the pari-mutuels, but. I like to know exactly what number I'm getting on a bet, JVT.
Yeah. I got to tell you, too, in my deep knowledge of horse racing, this is probably one of the weakest fields I've seen.
Yeah, it's...
In terms of names of horses, that's what I mean.
Oh, in terms of the names of the horses?
Okay. One of the weakest fields I've seen, I think, in my time.
I'll tell you one thing I just caught on our newsletter. I'm not sure if this was in the special yesterday, but just another reason to subscribe to VEASAN. I saw a Brent Musburger tipped horse in there.
Ooh, how about that?
Yeah, we got a Brent horse in the newsletter today.
Brent knows his horses. I remember one as his trusty producer when we first started here. We had a longtime jockey come in studio. Brent loves the ponies, as they say. If I had to pick, by the way,
I love betting on horses, by the way. I just know I'm not good at it.
You know what I like about it? I like the instant gratification.
Me too.
I like that I can bet this thing. I just rewatched last year's Kentucky Derby, like, during the commercial break. So I like being able to lose money in the span of, like, you know, 92.
Like, don't get me wrong. I can sit in a race book for 3 hours and drink and bet on horse races like that. I can do that. I've done it before.
We'll just do it again. All right, we're all done. If you love Kelly and I, live bet Saturday, noon Pacific tomorrow. Gil will be back on Monday. We'll see you. Have a good weekend, everybody. We're Party Line next.